Karen Moscow, thank you as always. Now let's get to a little bit of focus on DC here. There is a defense authorization bill that has been passed, get this, for 61 years, Paul.
That
is enormous, without hiccups.
Well, some hiccups, but
mostly been passed. Nevertheless, it looks like it's on the docket again. Joining us from Bloomberg Government, Roxana Tirin joins us to give us a little bit more perspective. Roxana, why should we be paying attention to what I feel like historically has been a no-brainer thing to pass?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yes, I mean, basically, the Defense Authorization Bill is considered as the must-pass bill of Congress. It sounds like a no-brainer, but in the current political environment and the past few years, it's the only bill really that has bipartisan support and that ends up being signed into law. As you have said, 61 years in a row, this year would be the 62nd. The Senate is in session today, very briefly, to bring up the Defense Authorization Bill. Democrats have been sort of criticized, the Democratic leader has been criticized for not bringing it up earlier, for not, you know, caring about national security and all the issues that this bill covers. And so they are bringing it up today just to introduce, and then you're not going to see this again until about November 14th. None of the big votes on this bill will be taken until November 14th.
So is this just kind of almost a rubber stamp thing? We know we've got to do this. Maybe there's a couple little things around the edges that are net additions or net detractions. Is there anything unusual in this particular bill this year?
Well, basically what it is, it's a defense policy bill, so it authorizes spending. So one of the bigger things is that it bucks President Joe Biden's budget request for the Pentagon. This bill would basically authorize $45 billion more than what President Biden had asked for the Pentagon, which was $773 billion. So from that perspective, just the amount authorized is a big deal. The House authorized basically $37 billion more. So we're talking about basically both chambers, bipartisan, defying the request, the already very large request for the Pentagon. So that's one. That's probably the biggest issue. The other issues, though, it does authorize, and these raises don't happen without this bill. It does authorize pay raises for military and Pentagon civilians, which this year is at 4.6%. It also basically writes policy for how to deal with industrial policy, for example, how to build up stockpiles of weapons that we have given to Ukraine in such large amounts. It speeds up some of the industrial actions there. It works on policy and strategy towards China, towards Taiwan. So there are a lot of big weighty issues in this bill that, like you say, it's a no-brainer. It should pass, but it also attracts, for example, it attracted 960 amendments from senators because they know that this is the one bill that passes. So there's a lot of priorities that maybe don't have to do so much with the Pentagon, but they are political priorities that end up on this bill as well.
So you mentioned Ukraine, and there's been, we're sending lots of equipment over there. Is that separate from this bill, or is this maybe part of the additional $45 billion that the Senate's suggesting?
So the $45 billion, yes. The $45 billion does touch on Ukraine as well. It's more than that. I think a lot of the focus of the additional $45 billion is inflation, trying to handle the effects of inflation on Pentagon costs. But it's also China-related. It's also our strategic competition with China. But it also, yes, it also makes sure that basically the industry and the Pentagon is well-positioned to replenish stocks to answer to Ukraine's needs as well, since this is all policy.
All right, Roxana, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time getting us up to speed on that. Roxana Tirin, Bloomberg Government a reporter down in Washington, D.C., talking about the must-pass defense bill.